this special edition of Prophecy Today, Israel at 64. And that naturally would call for us to go to our broadcast partner in Jerusalem. That's David Dolan, of course, longtime journalist from this vantage point looking over the Middle East. David, I want to get into Israel at 64, but there's some breaking news. I don't understand what's going on. It seems like the ex-Mossad chief has come out against the prime minister and any type of preemptive attack against Israel. Now Shin Bet, which is another intelligence gathering organization in Israel, that former head is coming out. What's going on? They're saying the prime minister, they're saying the defense minister, don't know what they're talking about. Can you straighten this story out for us?
Well, Jimmy, there has often over the years been tussles between the heads of the two main Israeli intelligence agencies. The Shin Bet is equivalent to the FBI, the internal security agency, while the Mossad is equivalent to the CIA, the external intelligence agency. And it's not new. We had it when Ariel Sharon proposed to pull out from Gaza in 2005, early 2005. The then head of the Shin Bet opposed that very strongly, and he was dismissed by Sharon. So this is not a new thing, but the statements made recently by these two former heads were quite harsh. As you said, they criticized both Prime Minister Netanyahu, head of the Likud party, and Ehud Barak, a former chief of staff, also, of course, a former prime minister, a military leader in his own right, very harshly on not just Iran, but on other issues as well, the lack of talks with the Palestinians and that. Today we have various cabinet ministers coming out, even though it's the Sabbath in Israel, making some public statements saying that these men have personal grievances against the leaders of Israel, the political leaders of Israel. So many of the cabinet ministers are saying this is just a personal vendetta by these two men against the current political leaders, and it should be ignored. But, of course, it is stirring up trouble here. We're expecting statements this evening after the Sabbath ends from the prime minister and the defense minister's offices about this whole issue, and we'll see where it goes from there.
David, do you think this will weaken the security situation as far as Israel's concerned?
Well, it doesn't help, certainly with the possibility of military strikes against Iran coming up. And we did have the current head of the military, the chief of staff, Gantz, say on Thursday that other countries, not only Israel, are militarily prepared to take on Iran's nuclear program and to attempt to halt that. So he said, you know, virtually we could be on the verge of that. So it doesn't help to have these sorts of criticisms internally going on. But, you know, Jimmy, Israel is a democracy. It's a very lively one, as you know. They say two Jews, three opinions. I say two Jews, five opinions sometimes. And this is just the way it is here. Everything is in the open, and at least there is free speech, and people can say what they think. But certainly in the current atmosphere, it's probably not going to be helpful for Israel's pushing against these security threats against it.
Yes, indeed, a democracy, and I've heard that saying before, two Jews, three or four or five or how many ever decisions or opinions you may have. Well, talk to me about Israel at 64. David, you've lived in the land. Talk to us about where are the Jewish people as it relates to a tough neighborhood that they live in?
Well, Jimmy, I think one of the leading Israeli conservative columnists, Carolyn Glick, who writes for the Jerusalem Post, summed it up best, I thought, by saying that we've gone from, in the 1990s, when Israel celebrated her 50th anniversary in 1998, from being a country that was, as she put it, rather deluded by the thoughts that just giving land back to the Palestinians will bring true peace. They'll stop their war, they'll stop their terrorism, they'll stop their rocket attacks if we simply give them back land. Israel's gone from that, which she called illusion, to the reality of the situation today, which is that Israel's enemies remain determined to destroy her. They're not going to be swayed by a little bit of land here or there, or any concessions. The Gaza pullout confirmed this. The Lebanon pullout confirmed this. And then, of course, Arafat's Al-Aqsa uprising against the Jewish people in the year 2000 in which 1,000 civilians died, all indicating to the average Israeli that the peace process is not only dependent upon Israel's actions, but upon the other side's actions, her enemy's actions, and they have proved they're not really interested in making a final peace treaty. And she noted that at the state ceremony, Jimmy, and I saw it on television the most popular act that evening was a very well-known Israeli artist who was singing from Psalm 121 about the Lord and trusting in the Lord, and the whole audience was singing along. And she noted that 10 years ago, you wouldn't have seen that because post-Zionism was in and everybody was busy criticizing each other. And despite these political comments you mentioned earlier against the government, the people seem united, they understand the threats against them, and they realize their government is doing everything it can to try to protect them from those, and that they trust in the Lord a lot more, I think, than they did 10, 15, 20 years ago, and that's a good development indeed.
David, you've been there for over 25 years. Now, I know you're not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. What's the future, the short future, look like for you? Is there going to be an attack by these enemies there in that neighborhood of Israel?
Well, I think they would like to, Jimmy, but here this week we had reports that Syrian soldiers along the Golan border with Israel were deserting their posts in record numbers, that some of the outposts were actually abandoned, and that people were coming in and looting Syrians, and even some Iraqis and Jordanians were crossing the borders and looting some of these outposts. So the regime there in Syria is in great trouble. Hezbollah, of course, is heavily armed in Lebanon, but they're very reliant on the Syrian regime to stay in power. Iran, of course, is engaged in these talks with the UN and others about its nuclear program, but the program continues, as Prime Minister Netanyahu mentioned on Thursday night. The centrifuges are still spinning. Uranium is still being enriched. So it does seem to me that this next year is going to be a critical one for Israel. Very likely there will be some sort of military action against Iran, and the blowback probably, as a report leaked on Channel 10 a few weeks ago said, probably a major war, missile strikes from Gaza, from Lebanon, from Syria, and from Iran. But, you know, God is in charge, and we remember in the book of Esther that he miraculously delivered the ancient Jewish people from a threat of annihilation from ancient Persia. And so many here are looking up to God to do that again. And I haven't seen the climate, the spiritual climate in this land, Jimmy, in the 31 years I've actually lived here, and 26 of those years here in Jerusalem. I've never seen it as open to the scriptures and open to the Lord as it is now. And that's a hopeful sign in the midst of the enemies of Israel's continuing to arm and to rage against her.
You mentioned a number of nations surrounding Israel, a potential threat to the Jewish state. You left out Egypt. Is that situation any better, or is it worsening? And in light of the fact that there are those in the Gaza Strip, Islamic Jihad, saying, let's abduct Israelis. That's the way to move ahead.
Well, but you know, they've always had that policy, and of course they have succeeded in abducting some soldiers over the years, and Gilad Shalit being the most famous of them. But it is a threat that continues, and we'll know, Jimmy, in a little bit more than a month what the threat from Egypt will look like, because the presidential elections, unless they're canceled, there's now some saying there may be a cancellation of those scheduled elections for late May and the second round early June. 13 candidates running. The polls are showing the Muslim Brotherhood candidate is very much on top. But Abu Musa, the former official in the Mubarak government, is also way up in the polls. So we'll see who triumphs, and that will determine what the Egyptian policy against Israel will be and whether they really move into the war camp or not, and what the military there does. We'll have to wait and see how these elections go.
And, of course, Israel is talking about the possibility of coming to early elections. The prime minister saying he may go to national elections very quickly. Shaul Mufaz, who heads up the Kadima party, wanting to do that. Just very briefly, could they go to elections real soon now, and would that harm the future, the immediate future?
Well, actually, Prime Minister Netanyahu refuted those reports this week, saying he has no plans to call for early elections, and he is the one that would have to do that. This came just before the Jerusalem Post published an opinion poll showing that his Likud party would triumph magnificently. They would win a fourth of the seats in the Knesset and be by far the largest party. And overall, the right-wing bloc would get 67 seats to just 53 for the left. So if he calls new elections, he's going to win them. But it looks like he realizes the situation with Iran is very troublesome and doesn't want that situation, an electoral race, to interfere with focusing on that at the moment.
David, thank you so very much. Great to hear from Jerusalem that you're there and safe and sound at this time. We'll talk again real soon.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.